Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Il Nostro Regno Radio. We are back and in action and excited to be reading poetry today. and bringing you some awesome stuff. We are going to have a bunch of reads. We have some amazing people out on the board right now. Say hello to Femora Soulweaver, a.k.a. Triscona, a.k.a. D, a.k.a. Dragon. Hello, hello. Hello to Titus out there. Good to see you. Good to see you, Patrick. I know you're hanging around as well. Great to hear you, see you as well. Mocha, she's having some issues getting in here like usual with Blog Talk Radio. And that just happens. What are we going to do with that? Blog Talk just loves to be Blog Talk. But I do have a little surprise online for everybody. I'm kind of excited about this. Welcome, Mr. Raconteur.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has. But it's great to have you here, see you here, and have you be here. I'm very excited to have your wonderful voice on here. Your absolutely incredible mind for poetry, and all your snark comments. We're gonna have everything that we imagined and more. Okay. Well, let me see where I want to start. I am going to start with a SoundCloud. And I think this is the first time I'm hearing this poet on a SoundCloud. So kind of excited about this. This is a little Garden Delights, Coming Home. So let's listen to her.
The Dreamer. Head tilting, pixie-like, framing a winsome look. Having clothed herself in trailing orchids, their lovely lilac fragrance saturating thick air. White fluffy clouds of dreamings floating across the rivers of her mind, scattering glittering dust particles in their wake. Imagination takes off. She pictures oceans ideal for catamarans sailing, frost-tipped waves crest over the bow. Scattered drops sparkle before a brilliant sun. Prisms of radiant color shimmer down on her. Café au lait skin warms under Sol's intensity. Next, she ventures into Babylon's hanging gardens. Exquisite flowering vines climb up high trellises. Solid, molten gold statues are polished to a sheen. The oversized Tower of Babel truly dwarfing all else. Her reverie ends, eyes flicking open. She looks around, seeing the present day forest. Rising, she determines to discover real adventures every day from now until forever.
That was actually a poem called The Dreamer. It seems I got the wrong SoundCloud with it, and no big deal. Still just a wonderful, wonderful picture, great little tale, great little story. I love how she mixes in the Tower of Babel and Babylon with that. Me being a person who's been to Baghdad, know that Saddam Hussein was trying to recreate all of that. And I think that this is kind of a cool little piece. Great descriptive. Great descriptive. Really enjoyed that. What did you think about that, Rack?
Yeah, I mean, I was drawn to the Tower of Babel, too. not the tower, the Hanging Gardens. Cause, I mean, that's kind of legendary. I've heard of that, but, you know, I've never been there. And oddly enough, you know, now I'll never be able to see it because of what happened with my eyes. But, you know, she does a beautiful job, you know, talking about dreaming about going there and seeing it. And, you know, and I mean, from between that and you know, the lead in with the ocean and everything else, you know, it's very serene and very dreamlike, you know. So she did a phenomenal job with the narrative on that and crafting it to that idea. It kind of led you down the path. And then the closing message of, you know, vowing to live every moment, you know, and have the adventures rather than just dream about them. It's a poignant statement. It makes it a very deep poem.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I really enjoyed the whole thing about it, and you're right. Let me see here. I'm taking a look. We're trying to do a little few things.
We can touch a mocha too.
Yeah, I'm really needing a touch of mocha right now. We're trying to get her in here. And we're having Blog Talk issues like normal, because they're always like that. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to continue into the audio while trying to figure a few things out. We're going to put Steve in next, and let me get his audio going.
Madness Makes the Heart Grow Fonder by Steven 76. Old man, you, old man who paid me for room and board. There's nothing out of the ordinary about you, at least nothing that met the eye. The eye, that accusing eye. It didn't matter where you looked, that accusing eye was always on me, watching me, judging me, accusing me. Some people called it a lazy eye, but I knew better. And accusing me of what? Me, a man who shoos a fly out of the door rather than kill it? But it drove me mad, always glaring at me. So I made a plan. One night, as you slept, I crept into your room, jumped on top of you, and clasped my hands around your neck. The loose, wrinkled skin actually gave me a bit of difficulty, but only took a few seconds to adjust and strangle the life out of you. I even kept a tight hold for at least 10 minutes after I knew you to be dead, just to be sure. But that eye still glared at me, and this time with reason. So, as according to my plan, I dragged you out into the parlor. I had already ripped up the floorboards in the center and dug a large hole in the crawl space the day before while you were out, so it was quite easy to pry the boards back up, drop you into the hole, cover you with dirt, and reapply the flooring. Done. But over the next week, I swear I could hear your heartbeat from under the floor. Twice I even ripped up the boards and dug you up just to make sure you were still there, and you were. But 9 days after, the police knocked on my door with questions of your whereabouts. I invited them into the parlor, leaving them for only a moment to put the tea kettle on the stove. I sat in the parlor answering their questions. I was very smooth, and I was sure I would get away with it until the heartbeat. Quiet at first, but it slowly grew louder with each question. I began to perspire, shifting in my chair. The two officers gave each other a peculiar glance. The heartbeat by now was so loud they must have heard it. I jumped up, started ripping up the floorboards with my bare hands, and I shouted, "Here he is! Here, take me away! I am the murderer!" But then I looked under the floor. Nothing. An empty hole. I looked up to the officers, but they weren't there as well. I put my hand upon my forehead and picked at my eyebrow. I jumped at the sound of the tea kettle. Went into the kitchen to sit, drink tea, and think, have I gone mad? No. I know better. Because ever since that night, I've seen you, old man, next to my bedroom door in the darkness, staring at me with that accursed, accusing eye and palm.
Yes, 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 yes. Oh, my God, yes. Yes, I could take stories like this forever. I could take poems like this forever. Just give me stuff like this. Oh, my God, I loved it. I loved it. Inject this into my veins. I want more of it. God. Oh, my God. That was. I'm just, like, absolutely floored. Absolutely floored. I love that. I am just clapping right now. Give that one a clap. I know you guys can't see me, but you can hear me. Brilliant. Brilliant. Wow. Rack, what do you think?
Yeah, floored is a good word. I like that little twist in the story, you know. He dug him up and confirmed he was still there. And then when the cops were there, oh, no, he wasn't there. And neither were the cops. So, you know, am I going mad? It really leaves you to wonder, you know, what the hell is going on? What kind of a situation that we kind of walked in on? It's great. You know, starting with that eye that, you know, inadvertently knows someone that has that going on. You know, at least at some point in your life, you've met someone, known someone. I had, anyway. I grew up with a kid that had that kind of an eye. You know, it's kind of ostracized because of it, too. So I could see, you know, getting irritated, you know, thinking that they're getting stared at, you know. Not necessarily as a kid, but, you know, as you get older, you know, your mind tends to play tricks. I've always been a big believer too, and you know, when you leave stuff to your imagination, it's always worse than what the reality of it is. So, you know, I love how he played on that. The whole thing was well executed. Steven really enjoyed it.
It's kind of making me creepy right now. You know, it's giving me the creeps a little bit. But it's absolutely perfect. I'm kind of absolutely floored by that.
We're back to the floor again.
All right. I'm going to read a poem by JEG325 John. Now, this is a Celtic dream. Somewhere in my hidden memories, old images float before closed eyes. Fragrant straw nights and bonfires, people dance through the next sunrise. Cornstalk figures bending shadows, held up tall as the flames leap high. Green knight hoisting a holy bush in honor of the old year passing by. Tall bonfires across rolling hillsides, figures whirling round and round. Drum pulse heartbeats of darkness, images move within ancient sounds. I stand upon muddy waters bridge, watching the river roll slowly to the sea, wind filled with a thousand voices forever passing as day returns to me. I really like this because of the picture paints, kind of like warriors gathering at the end of their missions and coming together and having some type of feast at a bonfire or a celebration bring out the ale and the dancing women and everything like that. There we go. Ah, what do you think, Rack?
Yeah, I don't get so much the warrior aspect of it, but I very much get like the celebration of like a harvest or the farming, you know, just life in general, you know, the bounty of the earth and enjoying life and everything that's available to me. There's that joy in you know, gathering together and dancing with you know the community and just pooling your resources and having a good time. It's got a very communal feel to it, you know. It feels like, you know, definitely a village type, you know, probably, you know, at the end of a long week or something, and just, you know, blowing off some steam and celebrating the fact that, you know, the bounty of the earth and what you have, you know, with each other as well as, you know, in general. It's a great thought.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, I think someone snuck in behind you.
No.
Can you hear me now?
Hey, girl. I can hear you now.
Hi.
I thought I put a chair against that.
No, I'm a ninja, okay?
Okay.
Oh, wonderful to hear your voice.
Hi, Jay. Hi, Rack. It's wonderful to be back. I missed you all very much, honest.
Yes. We're just chilling out, relaxing a little bit. And I thought I'd throw a couple extra things in there that aren't on my list just so you can hear them. And because we got a little time, so who's afraid of the big bad wolf?
Icicles crawl from the fangs and jaw while the maw of the wolf shook vigorously. Chaotically fraught with woe, hunger brought which he thought to alleviate immediately. Peeking through the storm, through forming of the wind and the hail and the snow, shone a single flickering light, inviting new opportunity. A chance to transform his current situation with a desperate plea. Hearing a bellow from inside the yellow hay-home semispherical dome alluding that, in fact, someone was home.
I'll simply ask if I can enter to bask in warmth and perhaps have some...
Gray eyes spied inside a window occupied by a delectable, delicious-looking swine with a purple and pink supple hide.
Pork rinds.
Entranced at the chance, claws creaked and advanced a slight prance as he began to romance a devious plan. For a wolf will inevitably be, unconvincingly, a vicious and violent and manipulative beast.
Hello, hello, good sir. There's been a terrible carriage accident down the hill. Sir, please let me in. My friend is very hurt, so I need your help, whoever you are.
The pig was startled and leaped in behind, his woven straw couch held together with twine.
Are you sure you need my help? I mean, I hope they'll be fine. It's just, who drives their carriage at this time of night, in this type of weather, this far from the woods? Surely they certainly were up to no good.
Please, Mr. Pig, I need your help. It's a matter of life or death.
Slowly hooves clopped across brass-plated floors, and three keratin toes shook, reaching for the door.
One more question before I let you in my place. How did you know I was a pig without seeing my face?
The stone door parted way by way of the wolf's weight as the straw trough dropped atop those caught in its wake. The wolf stretched back with a violent delight and thought to himself,
"Oh, I could go for another bite."
When he spotted a leather-bound brown book on the ground labeled Property of Paul the Pig.
An address book, hmm? Only two other names in it. This guy was Mr. Popularity. Number one, George Baconier, Twig House, down the road.
Staring intensively while his nails searched for meat caught between the now bloody mouth as he sucked on his teeth.
And number two, John the Big Mouth Bragger. Tell me how you really feel. Mansion, closest to town. Well, looks like my night got a whole lot more interesting. Tra-la-la-la-la.
We should have checked on Paul. He's all alone in that cabin so far in the woods. How is he going to let someone know if something happens? I swear a swift breeze could fell that switch. At least you have a phone.
I have the switch house. And trust me, it ain't going nowhere. Paul loves living alone. He loves the hills. Not all of us want to live in a big brick mansion. Not all of us forget where we came from.
I remember exactly where I came from. It's why I have this brick house. You could have one too if you weren't so lazy.
I'm not lazy, John. I just have carpal tunnel and fibromyalgia and social anxiety disorder. And I'm allergic to my own sweat. Plus rectangles make me sad.
Well, I called to see if you could go down to check on Paul.
Why don't you do it yourself, John? Or are you too lazy?
Publisher's Clearinghouse. We've got a giant check here for your neighbor, Mr. and Mrs. They don't seem to be home, so we figured, why not give the money to you? 15 million's nothing to sneeze at, huh?
For me?
The pig leapt with glee and reached for the door, for there was no better offer than an offer could be than a stack from the ceiling to floor of free money. Of this he was sure. But, he thought, there isn't a house in the front or the side or adjacent or across or even behind.
I have no neighbor. What lunacy do you spread? I live alone since my parents are dead, and my brothers don't sleep with me in their bed.
Then a single thought began parading in his head before his back-bacon heart began filling with dread.
Alone, you say?
Back George was thrown by the destruction of his home as he clung to wooden cover, gripping the phone to call his brother. John knew his brother's life was through, as it was sadly true this was not the first they saw of a wolf's malicious, maniacal, mauling maw. Further past than John would like to admit, back to the age when he was a kid, his father, sad to say, was more like his brothers, failing to provide for him and the others. A cardboard house was the shelter provided, but there was much love to fill the spaces inside it. Until on a bright scarlet moon, when they'd failed to heed the howl of the wolf. What a folly indeed. The attack had come to a jerky close. The triplets hid themselves under dirty clothes, and all eyed the wolf who was fairly close as he sniffed at the pile while each held their breath for more than a while. Not a sniffle had crept from their nose. Now in the present, another wolf had returned, and John learned from his father's mistake. This time the wolf had a lesson to learn. barricading windows and doors with furniture, statues, and 2x4. He reinforced the entrances and exits, of course, before taking up residence on his dining room floor. Doused the fireplace with oil and kerosene, awaiting his revenge on the foul, fierce fiend. Hours passed, which felt like days, as the piglet's frightened mind began to run out of tricks to play. Certain he was, the moment was here, nothing left to feel after swallowing his fear.
John, I said, John, this here, John, this here, Constable Leghorn from town. Now, we got reports, I said, we got reports of a wolf in the area. I hope you don't mind, we came by to do a wellness check. Well, just a wellness check to make sure everything's okay. Oh, good Lord. Good Lord, John, I see the wolf in the distance. He's getting close, boy. Let me in, boy, let me in.
John suspiciously eyed the window outside, the blocked frosted glass obscuring his sight.
Well, sir, why not just fly a little high in the sky
to land grand atop my mansion with a plop? Surely with two of those big burly wings, you could simply just soar up on top of the thing. My chimney is the only opening I've not blocked. So if you can't get up there, you're right out of luck.
Ooh, why, yes, John, yes, John. I say I glide right on up.
That'll be a first, since chickens can't fly, and neither can wolves, or so I read.
You're no fool. No, we cannot. But we surely can climb, indeed.
Scraping siding, the wolf began climbing, higher he pried as John swelled with pride. The wolf tiptoed over to the chimney and leapt down hurriedly in a jiffy. Near reaching the bottom, he extended his limbs, attempting to stop, for a smell caught his attention, his senses obscured by an increase in tension.
Oh, by the way, I have an answer to your question.
The wolf snarls and quivers, stomach curling with indigestion. A match well scraped as fire lined the face of the ebony stone brick-encased, kerosene-filled fireplace.
Now, who's afraid of the big bad wolf? No one.
A pillar of fire shot out in the night as a howl dissipated to the piglet's delight when a plume of gray ash from the wolf drifted alone, disappearing in the wood and the hail and the snow.
Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Big bad wolf, big bad wolf. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? La 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 la. Long ago there were three pigs.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I had to do that. I had to do that. Oh, this is, yeah, this is absolutely wonderful, brilliant, and a great way to welcome Mocha back. What do you think about that, Mocha?
Nothing quite says welcome back like Gonzo production. I feel like I am back. And I loved it. I love that he makes mature fairy tales. All of us adults with sick senses of humor. I love the audible productions that he puts on. It's like getting a little movie break. I forgot that I was doing a show for a second. I sat there and was just so absorbed in the entire episode of this. It's a shame that some people don't seem to have the attention span for it, but it's great for people like me who do have the attention span and who do want pieces with depth and storytelling, and this has that. Oh my God, the foghorn, leghorn character? That is so crazy that he works that in there. And I love that, you know, the ending isn't obviously the same as the original. The pigs get their revenge in, like, the best way that they possibly could. You know, the last brother avenges his first two lost brothers, and it's well thought out. He planned a murder, and he did it well, you know? There's so much to love from this story, honestly. And I have to say, Gonzo, in the time that I've been gone, it seems that he's been getting better and better, and better at this every time. So, you know, I'm really proud of him to see that growth and that he's still sticking with it, that he's still doing these productions, even though there are a lot of people who don't seem to appreciate the work that he puts into them. I don't know how you could not. I mean, maybe they've just never actually had to write a script or to put together a track, you know. Maybe the only thing that they've ever had to do is write it. But this, to be able to do this, takes more skill than just being able to write. It's planning, it's storyboarding, it's visualizing, even though there's no visuals, and then him having the presence of mind, sounds that work perfectly with his words and match the visual that he's trying to project into your brain. It's really hard work and a lot of attention to detail, and I will forever admire Gonzo for writing the way that he writes and creating the way that he creates. It's so very original. And thank you for playing it today.
Yeah, no problem. I agree 100%. Rack, I'm going to give you a say on this one. What do you think?
I think if the cops ask me what happened to the wolf, I promise not to squeal.
Oh, God. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, Mocha, who's that behind you?
Yeah. There's somebody behind me?
Yeah.
Can't you feel his eyes staring at you?
Hi, Deb.
Hey. Well, how
hi,
good is it to be you?
I miss you. Nice
welcome
to hear your
home.
Voice, too. Oh, thank you.
Feels like it's been 100 years since I heard your voice.
I know. I didn't recognize my own voice. I think I sound a little bit of hoarse today from being out of my life.
Wow.
All right. Well, I'm going to give the mic over to Deb, and you have the floor, Deb.
Okay. Thank you much. I am running back, and while I'm getting to the board, I just want to say Gonzo blows me away. The mad skills he puts into them. I have heard that one, and like, unbelievably fantastic. And if I'm not mistaken, I was nosy and asked, and you said it took like 4 days to make that. I believe it.
The 4 days called, like a rush job.
Yeah. Well, it's phenomenal. I am in awe of these little, you could imagine, to get the TV, just sit around and listen to Gonzo. He'd be like perfect for radio too. Okay, but they need doing one. Anyway, this is called Forgiving Is For Me, But Not Forgetting Is Too. Here we go. These shoulders lately came with blue trod. My shoes walk over all those booby traps. Those you planted like mine to trip me. But I spy the red flag when this girl snaps. The brain flashes the signs once camouflaged by those two faces you wear to hide all the rage. Cracks and pieces in the mouth, leaving the face meet the clay at center stage. Still, my blunt juices yanks me down, fueling the grin that you paint over with lipstick, cleaning the battlefield, all alone for another round. But the red bees left me here, too thick. This chip shall not fall for every dirty little trick.
Yeah.
Wish with my heels from turning my cheek and blinders show all the slime fields relief. Punctured flesh cutlass, razors, edge, daggers, heels, and other scores in the web you weave with every recorded ache locked inside of me. Tied to dirty lies with the book tug wags. Now as the smile dresses my face and snicker, plastering the plastic grin that you want to display, from seeing me bending, not breaking to pieces, marking kinks in the armor you see today. That plan you hatched to knock me in the dirt and stain the periwinkle views in sage gray backfires and neon windows curve over the bay. Cornflower blooms color the landscape views, cradling the opal clouds filled with April showers to water the gold daffodils and purple hyacinths, perfuming the breeze and blooming the flowers and plants.
Oh, please tell us how you really think.
Well, I never let the haters hold you back. You can stop and smell the flowers. You can't stop and smell the flowers if you carry a grudge. It's too heavy to bend and sniff. So forgive to lighten up your own load, but never forget lessons that caused the brain shift.
I love it. I love it. That rocks. You got such an attitude in that, and that's sometimes that's important. You know, you gotta let those things out. You gotta let them rip, and can't hold them in, because when you hold them in, they seethe and they rip at you, and they do everything in their power to kind of tear you down. So I love that. Excellent job.
Thank you so much, Jim. Appreciate that. You know, sometimes the narcissist forgets that the world doesn't really revolve around them. Just say it.
Oh, I love that you mentioned narcissist.
Pretty cool word, though.
It is, and it's apt, right? Because reading this poem, I've sort of flashed back to situations where I relate to it, and usually the offending party is quite narcissistic. I don't know what it is. It's the thing that they have. And I think, too, because of my age and general people in my generation are so attached to social media, and it breeds narcissism, literally, because it programs them to think that the world revolves around them and what they make it to be.
Right? I agree. And some days you're just drowning in them. Where are they? I mean, they all come out of the woodwork.
Yeah. It's funny to think about all that they're in their own movie. So this is their perception of life outside of them. It's like everybody's just walking around outside of them like an NPC character, like an extra. You know, it's almost like it convinces them to not consider other people as actual human beings.
Right.
And they develop this whole persona about it. But I think that's a bit of a side point. Let me comment on the actual poem, because this poem was lit. It was great. First of all, I love the title. The title sold me immediately. Forgiving is safe, but not forgetting is. And I think just that in and of itself was almost like a little mini poem. And it said so much, you even having to step into it. Like, I already knew where we were going emotionally. So I love your descriptive language, Deb. Like, I missed it so much. Where I'm almost having a little bit of sensory overload with this one, just because I haven't read poetry like that or like this in a while. You're so talented with using your words to just play around. Like, you bounce them around. It's so easy. honestly, the weightlifting shoulders and then the booby traps, which as a woman makes me think of, you know, the whole problem. You have big boobs and they're heavy and weight. So that was kind of like a pun in a weird way. The landmines and the red flags, girl. The red flags. Oh, all your metaphors were so on point. I have to ask, what does the word Dolores mean? It's a new one for me.
Anger is not the right word. Yeah, it is. I'm like hurt and mad and you know, you wanted me to just drown in that sorrow, in that misery, in that, it's sort of misery, I guess, is how I used it in context. But yeah, I know it sounds lame, but sometimes the auto rank words tick me off, so I go looking for something else to use, but it's just misery, sorrow, mournful, depressed, all words that auto rank me.
I get it. I don't think it sounds bad, honestly. I didn't know it. And it reminded me of, when I read it in my mind, which is why I'm glad you pronounced it out loud, I read it like Dolores, I think. And my brain, hungover brain, said DeLorean. That's why I'm glad you heard of the meaning. That has nothing to do with you. That's all me. But, no, the poem was really fantastic. I could sit here and we could have a girl talk about the meaning of it all day, but I'm trying to not. I can pick a favorite stanza from it either, because it's perfect in that, I don't know, every stanza feels very complete. Like if I were to take it apart and just break the entire poems into like little smaller pretty poems where each stanza were to stand on its own, it would still work, you know, which is why I say it's sort of technically perfect. I can't decide on a favorite, but I love this imagery that you put in my head, the red beanbags, you've lost 2-6, this chick shall not fall for every dirty little trick. Probably one of my favorite lines. I love that poem. It's an anthem.
Those are my favorite lines as well. I agree 100%. Racky, what do you think?
Yeah, it's a tough lesson when you want to learn that forgiving isn't forgetting, because some people think that, you know, if you forgive someone, people are going to use it as an excuse to continue to walk all over you. It's rough, and you tie that thought together really well with the lines that Mocha quoted and you know, all the metaphors throughout. But you know, sometimes life kind of reminds you too, you know, what's right, you know, the way that your body reacts, the whole, you know, when you bend over and your head, you know, doesn't feel the same and things like that. And I think you even worked that in there towards the end, if I'm not mistaken. But you know, it's thoughts like that just reinforce the whole idea too. You know, some people, I don't know, they even take it as a weakness or as you know, a statement as to, you know, you're stupid or something. When it's just, you know, your own choice. You know, you don't want to carry that weight around and give them that headspace that in your brain, because you know they're not worth it. So the whole thing is a great thought.
Thank you.
Yes, Steve, the show is going great. Thank you, brother. He's out there. Hey, Rack, I don't think that chair by the door is working because the door opens outward.
Oh, man. No wonder.
Hi, Lady A. How you doing?
Hey, Jay. Good, thank you. And you?
Doing well.
Andrea.
Hi, Lady A.
Hi. I'm sorry I'm so late. I was in town and I just got back, so I was galloping back so that I wouldn't miss all the show.
Oh, no problem, no problem. I have another something special for Mocha here. Mocha, this is somebody wrote something special for you here, and I'm going to go ahead and now
for me?
To read and sing it. So here we go.
Oh.
This is called Tear Down the Fourth Wall by Lawrence 67.
Oh, Lawrence.
The adventures of Nigel, the fat cat, and his homie Alfian tear down the fourth wall. La, la, la. Do, re, mi, mi, mi. And one, two, three, hit it, JCA. Cats don't need no neuterization. Cats don't need no condemnation. All they really want to do is tear down the fourth wall. Hey, Mocha, cats be bad to the bone. All they really want to do is tear down the fourth wall. Oh, my God. Oh, no, Mocha dropped. Oh, no.
You dropped.
I will have to do that again. I know. The wall just shook. Oh, my God. We'll have to do that again when she shows up because I think I can do it better. All right, but that's fine. Oh, my gosh. Well, we're going to continue on with the poetry, and we'll wait for Mocha to pop back up here. Darn Blog Top messing with us again. Well, I want to get definitely everybody who's been on the board played and read and everything like that, and Lady A, we're going to get you as well. Right now, let me switch over to Titus. And is that what I want to do? Yeah. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll put a little Titus on the board and make sure. As soon as you're going to read Lawrence, too. Yeah, no, I'm, like I said, I'll do it again. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate that. Steve, we played your audio, and you, my friend, blew my mind. It probably is my favorite piece that you have ever done. I'm going to let you know that right now.
He's eyeballing you, right?
I know. All right, here's a little Titus for us.
A still life version, no less. From so shallow roots and soil so sparse, an orchid, for whom her inner goodness did not have love to await her under glass. Sleeping beauty, a still life version, no less. How far from deep within can all those dreams we've made when in fact time was against all the odds, when into flower, the things love is wary of what happens next. Scent steeples, open the delight to all apparels. The opulent deluge of honey, as it trickles, consent shows beauty resting on its laurels. Pistols of lead to be palpitating ventricles. Had my life depended on my missing out, her opening her eyes that night. I've died many times before. I could see so devout, like virgin oil, honey slavers do coincide.
Oh my gosh, I have missed getting a little Titus here and there. Oh my God, I love this. I love this piece. The way his metaphor use of the flowers mixing in, melting in with the, with love. This was like we were sitting way back when in our human biology class talking about the birds and the bees. But I'll tell you what, I really, really love the metaphor within this and the love and that goes in this and everything. This is so beautiful. So freaking beautiful. I loved it. Ah, man. Lady A, what'd you think about this?
Well, I don't have the words in front of me, but I love Titus. I love his voice. I love the depth of all of his poems. I love the romance that he puts in them. I think he's an excellent writer, and this is one more of his classic pieces. He's a really, really superb poet. I love his stuff.
Are you on the board at all or not?
No, I can't. I've tried to refresh and stuff, but nothing seems to come up. I'm in the group, so it should come up, shouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, El Nostrareño, yeah. You in the wrong group?
Oh, dear.
Oh,
there it is. Yes, I see it now, yes.
Okay, no problem. I'll let Rack make a comment on that. Rack, what'd you think?
I mean, it was simply beautiful. You know, Titus is Titus. You know, the choice of music and the classic style, the mentioning of the flowers, it's melting. It really is. Really enjoyable, Titus. Well done.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's an elegance behind Titus that I just absolutely adore. I think he's just one of the most brilliant writers that I have heard, and I just can't get enough of him and the way he puts everything together. Trying to see where I want to go from here. Let's listen to another audio here, folks. And then we'll get Lady A. We'll put you up right after this one. But let's get a little Phil the Poet going. There we go. I love the title of this.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called "Of What Price, O Madness?" Tell me, my insane friend, at what cost do I endure this suffering, striving for the perfect poem? At what price, O madness? Have I overstepped the boundaries, crossed the line from creativity to insanity, to suck the slings and arrows of misfortune? At what price, O madness? Surely there's no turning back. Society has already labeled me a strange fool thinking he's a poet. Why should I suffer this, oh madness? I talk to myself, but I'm just quoting poetry, seeking inspiration from ancient texts, but people think I'm mumbling nonsense. Why should I suffer this, oh madness? Embracing the fool I've turned into, with wild eyes, I live the artist's dream, dissolving the ink into my veins. Come to me, O madness. The world I have created is filled with poetic words and syllables. In dramatic prose I deliver the words. Come to me, O madness, engulfed in insanity's final throes, draining the source of all sanity from my paper clouds in mind. Come and kiss me, O madness. Let me drown in your dark passion. Feel your electric pulses run down my cranium as I long for the taste of your insanity. Come and kiss me, O madness. End poem.
I know so many poets who are ostracized in their lives for their gift, for their artistry, for the way that they bring their feelings and their minds and their the thoughts forward, and people look at them in such strange and odd ways. But I think it's even more of a something where you have to look at them like a more advanced way of thinking, almost a thinking that goes beyond the normal thinking. And we all see things in a different light, and in such a wonderful light. And I think that this was a brilliantly put piece. And don't worry, Mocha, I'm gonna reread Lawrence's one for you, so you don't have to worry.
I was gonna say quietly, like, can you please read it over? Fog Toss kicked me off right before you started reading, and then I missed Titus right after. Like, I don't know, Fog Toss loves kicking me out at the point in my show where it's like my favorite time. So the most excited I am, like the more excited I am, the more likely Blog Talk is to kick me off of my own show.
That's the way it seems. Let me get a couple more comments for Phil here. Lady A, what do you think of Phil's poem?
I love his stuff. I think he's was from the time that I started reading him. I think he was a very underrated poet, and I'm glad to see that he's submitting some SoundClouds so that we can hear his voice. But he's a great participant in the shows and in the contests, and he really does have a wonderful pen. This poem, you know, you talk about, it's, you know, he's put it in a great way. You know, the prejudice is suffered for speaking his mind in his poetry, speaking about things of great meaning to him, and being criticized for it, and calling it madness. You know, I think he has embraced himself. Like when you see that second last verse, and he says, engulfed in sanity's final throes, draining the source of all sanity from my paper clouded mind, come and kiss me, oh madness. Like, he's embracing himself and his thoughts and his writing. I think it's a great poem.
Great comment. Rec, what do you think?
Yeah, this is a subject that I'm somewhat familiar with. I'm continually saying my brain isn't wired right, so it's very relatable to me. My thought is more along the lines of, you know, the people that don't agree tend to be the ones that are more vocal. You know, who's to say, you know, that your point of view isn't the right one? And, you know, I the devil's advocate, or however you want to look at it, at that perspective, you know, I think embracing it is definitely the right thing to do, and the more appropriate action, you know, being comfortable in your own skin and you know, your own thought process even, you know, not that it's not easy, but, you know, the people that choose to, you know, open their mouths or whatever, you know, you could just as easily choose not to listen to them. So it doesn't bother me. You know, you want to label me as crazy, that's fine with me. I'd rather be different. I like the way you put it. The whole piece was wonderfully written, you know, as all of your stuff is. I appreciate your SoundClouds and enjoy hearing you. Thank you, Phil.
All right. And I think what we're going to do next is give Lady A the mic. And do you have a link for us, Lady A?
Yeah, I can get it for you. I'm having a hard time deciding what piece to read. I think I wrote one a while back about, it was a picture prompt of a horse, and I really liked how it turned out. So I think I'm gonna post that one, and it's called Frisian King. I'll give you the link here. I'll put the link in.
Okay.
Oh, may I quickly, just before he reads, because we're going to go, I'm going to go off in a little bit.
We got about 55 minutes.
Okay. Make sure we get 9 done before we go off air, or it's overtime. because he's on the board.
We can do it. Yeah, we'll do it right after Lady A.
Okay. I know it's kind of late for him, too, where he is.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Go ahead and
read
it.
You're right. You're right. He's in Croatia. Yep.
Oh,
all right, Lady A.
After Miss A.
Okay. So you want me to read mine then, or wait?
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead and read yours, and then we'll do nines, and then we'll keep it going.
Okay. This is called Frisian King. He is the spirit of the wind, onyx black, blue tinged. He is freedom, no man, no halter, no saddle or bridle. He is strength, brawn, built for endurance. He is beauty seen, is formed to be reverenced like Chapel Sistine. He is majesty, magnificent, unbroken, wild, spirited, equine, looked upon in awe and worshipped for his magnificence. Stallion, extraordinaire, Frisian, Netherland, royal bloodstream, mane and tail, thick silk, back flowing in a gallop, rider's dream. He is dancer, high knee prance, gait peculiar to the breed, knights in heavy armor carried into battle on their Frisian steed. 15 hands high, calm temperament, proud stance. He is poetry, an echo, asking a shadow to dance. He is royal, he's wild, born untamed, forever to run free. Along river waters, hills and knolls, thundering hooves trot, panter, turn a pirouette, rearing, boxing the air. Claims his domain. He is champion, reigning king, a darkened world. He brings light in. End poem.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I love the description, the descriptions in this piece.
Thank you.
And, yeah, I just love the way that you did this because there's so much behind it. The detail behind it, I think, is what really gets me. Not only the detail, but the history. You kind of blended in the history and you put it in so many descriptions that normally when seeing this, his beauty, his form to be reverenced like Chapel Sistine. Oh my gosh, I love that. You know, the comparison that you have there is just fabulous. And then you put the different historical factors, like he's a dancer, knee prancer, knights in heavy armor carried into battle, stuff like this. And I really think that paints the overall picture of what you're trying to portray and what you're trying to bring forward, and I think you did a wonderful job with that.
Thanks so much.
Rack, what did you think about that?
I think she should do it in Winnipeg. I enjoyed it, Lady A. I mean, all the references, galloping, the correct height measurement in hands, which is the way that they do it professionally, if I'm not mistaken, the thoughts of the gallantry and majesty of a horse and the rippling muscles and all of it. It was just outstanding. You know, you did great justice to the animal and the beauty of it. You know, this could have been, you know, part of the story of like Black Beauty or something like that, because, you know, the horse that you describe obviously is elegant and you know, powerful. You did a beautiful job.
Thank you, Rack.
Great guess, too, Rack. Yeah, can I comment?
No, absolutely.
No.
Go ahead.
It's not like it's your show.
Yeah. I forget. It's been a while. I guess in my own house. I've heard this one before, but this is probably one of my favorites, I think, from Lady A that I have heard, because she so perfectly captured the majesty and also the sort of wild, untamable freedom that horses represent. And I know Rat can't necessarily see the picture, but his guess at, you know, saying that it was something that gave him Black Beauty vibes is very on point, because the photo that she rose to was just gorgeous, and she perfectly translated that into this poem where it's literally sort of dripping with sense of regality, of nobility throughout the entire thing, and not just because of the references, but the way she reads it as well brings everything of this writing style together for me personally. I really, really enjoyed this poem.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
All right, and I guess we're going to put up 9 next, so let me go ahead and post that and press play.
Darkling, Part 1, Love of an Artist, by 9 Apart. There's an onyx star in sterling silver that takes up your wedding ring spot. By your snow-coat skin, you belong to the winter. By your fealty to chaos, to the devil's final thought. I never can tell if you chant or you croon while you read my scar tissue like braille. And it seems like you really make love to the moon when you climax, eyes closed, like a banshee cries her wail. I know that it sank in your tinted glass vase and your fountain pen fingertips, but not the enigma that bumps in your chest that would see a few rhymes have me exile from your lips. It kills me that I don't know the hue of your eyes. They just slip from blue into green. So I check in your notebook like a creep, like a spy. But your handwriting mocks me like a court harlequin. And this new soul that looms from your pool cavern womb, bound to wear your raven hair. Is she heir to my name, or a daughter to moon? Evanescent as you, and elliptically blue, with those teeth that bear. My palm on your belly, triumph still in your grin, from that stone-cold deicide, where you left me with no one to pardon my sins, just the intravenous drips of your finest cyanide. To be continued.
Oh, damn. Damn, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love that. I love that. There, it's got a creepiness to it and kind of a questioning to it. And what the hell is going on? It just seems like there's so much going on, but since it's a part one, it just leaves you with question after question after question, and that is what's perfect about it. If you're going to make a part to a story, leave us on edge. Leave us questioning what's going to happen next, because that's the way I want it to come out. Excellent job, Nine. I love the way that you did that. Oh, my God. I just had to jump in. I'm sorry. Mocha, take over for a second. I'm just wigging out.
No, hold on. You know I'm a fat girl, so I'm going to actually let Rack go first and maybe A, and I'll go last.
So the bald guy is wigging out, huh? I appreciated this. I loved his description of the woman, the object of his desire, I guess, and the detail of the wedding ring. It kind of sets the stage for where I think the direction he's probably going. You know, especially if it's a part one. So, you know, I would imagine that, you know, he's going to link it together in some fashion. But, like Jay mentioned, it definitely, you know, leads to questions. But, you know, when you write in an open-ended fashion like that too, I love the way that, you know, it lets your mind go in 20 different directions at once. And, you know, the fact that he's going to add to it, you know, and kind of offer a resolution possibly, just makes it that much more intriguing. I thought it was a really good piece.
Awesome comment, and I agree with you. Lady A, would you like to comment?
Yes, I would, thank you. This is beautiful. I think his descriptions are amazing. I think every single line, but not the enigma that pumps in your chest that would see a few rhymes have me exiled from your lips. Oh, like just every line, every single line when he speaks about the love of an artist. I think that people who write that are artistic have such a depth of feeling and expression that he has really done that well in this entire poem. And, you know, he goes from, you know, this new soul that looms from your pool cavern womb. So there's a baby involved here, bound to wear your raven hair. Is she heir to my name or a daughter to moon? I think, you know, in the last line it's a little bit creepy, you know, evanescence as you and elliptically blue with those teeth that bear. Like, there's so much evidence of, you know, a discord in the relationship, but this little person is coming along. I just think it's an amazing write, and there's no... he's left it open to write more to it, but I see in the author's notes that this is a love child he's speaking about. And unfortunately, a lot of times when that happens, the relationship of the parents is not what it should be, and animosity, etc. And so, you know, I think that this was a real challenge to write. And it's so emotionally moving and just brilliantly written, I think. It just, you know, I love the whole poem. I don't think I've ever read this person before. I just really, really a wonderful.
I highly recommend him.
I'm going to read some of his stuff, yeah. You know.
He's
congratulations, Nine, for writing this wonderful piece.
Right, and it's my turn to fangirl. No, test with Nine, honestly. He gets better and better every time. He never fails to deliver poetically or conceptually or story-wise. He checks all boxes of what I admire in poetry. He's got this... how to say, it gives me the sort of grungy feel of Bukowski, but not with Bukowski language, with much more graceful language. It's like Bukowski was a little bit less rough, and a little bit more of a romantic, but he was not. Nine's metaphors are fantastic. Hearing him read his own poetry also has its own level of depth to it. And I love how he creates characters. And when he writes his poetry and he brings these characters up, it's more about the character than the story. It's like the characters or the people that he's talking about is what sells you on the poem. Because I read this, and what I'm in love with is this girl right now who makes love to the moon and cries like a banshee. It's reminding me of Phil's poem, where he's talking about artists having to be sort of always on the verge of madness. And now Nine is sort of talking about, okay, that's cool, but how do you love someone who's constantly on the verge of madness? You know? It makes for a very interesting relationship. Love of an artist in and of itself is kind of its own form of art, you know.
See,
and
I took that a little different. The crying like a banshee.
Well,
I took that more.
He was talking about connecting, so yeah. I took it well, I think.
I took it as an expression of passion.
It is. And she's a passionate person, but that's essentially what artists are like. She's passionate, she's spontaneous, she's out of this world type of person. And here's the guy who's writing. I'm not going to say it's Nine because I don't like to directly associate, but here is this dude who's writing this poem trying to admire something that he's basically considering a living work of art, while she is also pursuing art. It's sort of like this feedback loop of admiration and artistic pursuit. And it's sort of like, where does it end?
That is great.
But
that is
great. That's one way to look at it. I'm sorry. And the addition of this baby just adds so much more to the plot, so much more to the complexity of the relationship. That is a relationship that already clearly has communication issues or perhaps intimacy issues, because one partner is more dedicated to something else.
Ooh, there's so much to this. I think everybody is.
There's so
done
much.
An excellent job.
You're
kicking
right.
Kicking apart this. Yeah.
We can all
right.
sit on this all week. But
oh, I know. I know. This has so much to it. You're right. All right. I'm going to read mine. I've been delving into spoken word a little bit, so I was going to give you guys a little touch of it. And this is a little something I call my Technicolor life. My Technicolor life shines in her glow, breathe in the alabaster snow, sun's golden glow, purple rain on the radio, nouns and adjectives flow like a Rachmaninoff concerto. She is the blue bonnet in the appetite sea, scarlet in the cherry pop, sweet passion flower in the scent I breathe, eyelashes in the web she weaves. Waterfalls falling, sprawling, crawling, her voice is calling, mauling me in the tiger lily fantasy. I see the emeralds, rubies, and calcite, the way she takes flight, dynamite, like the barn owl kite holding tight, feeling right. Twisting me in the golden grains of sand, my chestnut caravan, the one-man band with a mystery machine van. She sparks the reds and blues, green, yellow, and orange hues, crazy glue stuck on you, a twisted brood, a paw print clue. Hers is the magnolia sheen, emerald green, cadmium clean, diamond crystal beam. Drinker as the blush wine, juicy clementine, shines like a silver dime, the time is mine. and in her, my Technicolor life shines.
Ooh, Jay, your spoken word is really good. Like, it's so not what I'm used to from you, but I still see your usual writing style in there. I still see your usual references, your usual way of phrasing. This is the most I've ever heard you rhyme, though. And you were, like, spitting. Like, you were spitting like it was a rap. I love it. I mean, I have to give you a little clap for that spoken word performance. Honestly, it was really well done. The title works perfectly with the mood of the poem. The purple rain on the radio, you know, the blue bonnet. It's giving me very Sunday vibe, happy, sort of nostalgic, dancing around in your kitchen on a morning as you cook breakfast kind of happiness that you get when you're with someone that you truly, truly love. You know, those easy sort of movie moments where everything in the world feels right, even the music, the radio, the birds chirping in time. I mean, it's beautiful. Twists me in golden grains of sand. My chestnut cap man, the one-man band with the Mystery Machine band. Like, why did you bring back Scooby-Doo? This is so nostalgic. I mean, this is Saturday morning. This is a Saturday. I mean, get up, make breakfast, you listen to the radio, you know, and then you chill out, Scooby-Doo. This just sounds like such a good time. It feels good to read. It feels good to hear it being read, you know? It's just, it's full of sunshine. I love it.
Thank you.
Rex, what did you think?
Scooby-Doo and the Paw Print Clue. I mean, that was Blue's Clues, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was Blue's Clues.
All the references to me, but the part that really grabbed me was when, in the end, when you mentioned the Technicolor world, you know, it's still like calling someone like the light of your life. You know, they're the ones that add the color to your world, and you know, there's a lot to that. You know, the shading and the color, it speaks to me of you know, the type of life that you lead and what you value, and you know, where you find beauty. It was a lovely sentiment. It was very deep and poetic, and you know, like Mocha mentioned, you know, the rhyme and the rhythm were excellent. You know, I really enjoyed it very much, and it was a little different for you, but it was still signature J. So you did a great job staying
yeah.
to yourself and trying something new.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I think that's the definition of growth, honestly. You're expanding, you also, yourself at your core. Lily A, would you like to comment on Jay's poem?
Yes, I would. I thought this was terrific. I love the picture prompt with the colors. It is indeed Technicolor. My Technicolor life shines in her glow beneath the alabaster snow. I love the inline rhyme in almost every single line and the outward line in these stanzas. I think that there's so many beautiful lines in here. I love passion flower in the scent I breathe, eyelashes in the web she weaves. That's a very telling couplet right there, you know, that he's mesmerized by this woman, and she's got, you know, when you hear about a web that she's weaving, it's almost, you know, I've got this magic thing that I'm going to draw him in. Her beauty and her personality and everything has made him willingly weak in the knees for her, and her silver voice is calling, mauling me in the Tiger Lily fantasy. Jade, this is probably one of the most beautiful pieces I've read from you, and I love how you've done this. Your descriptions, your rhyme scheme throughout the whole thing is brilliant. And I think that she sparks the reds and blues, green, yellow, and orange hues, crazy glue stuck on you, a twisted brew, the paw print clue. Hers is magnolia. I can read every line. I just love this. It's really beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah, you'll make us want to read again.
Yeah, someone said, you know, you get crazy glue and what was the other one? What was the other part? I forget. There were two. What's that?
The paw print clue?
No.
You know,
another one.
It's not easy to write
the phone
in rhyme like you have without it sounding forced, and I didn't find there was anything forced in any of these lines, and that alone is a real gift and talent to be able to do that and have it make sense and flow and blend and not sound forced. It was stunning. It really and truly is. I love poems like this.
Yeah, I had someone.
And
someone,
do you know what my
favorite this
part
poem
of this poem is? It's Water Rag 10 still with. Even though it's a completely different form for him, it's still auto rank 10. He still keeps pulling out these 10s. It's amazing.
Yeah, I was surprised that I could. I've done a couple spoken word 10s, and I was actually surprised that you could do it. But, they actually really – auto rank is not shy of giving 10s to spoken word. So if you do it right – you know, you fill it out, and like you said, I love to put my fingerprint on it. But someone told me, you know, crazy glue and purple rain in the same poem, it's a winner.
Oh.
Hey, Rack, ready to sing? Are you ready to sing to us?
If you want.
Do we want Rack to sing to us, folks?
Woohoo! Absolutely.
All right, my friend, I've got it up there.
All right, so forgive me if I miss a word. I'm doing it from memory, so it's only three verses, though. It was to the tune of Still the Same by, God damn it, why do I do that?
Bob Seger.
Yeah, but I know it's Bob. I want to say Cat Stevens. I'm like, no, it's Bob Seger. Yeah, I don't know why I want to say. Anyway, I only borrowed the melody, so the lyrics have nothing to do with the Bob Seger song at all. It's a completely different thought. So just to the melody of it, if you could kind of hear it, you'll probably hear it in the background in your head. Here we go. It's pure disdain. You walked away, laughing as I writhed in pain. It's not okay, treating love like it's a game. Emotional scabs you picked in vain. Not a glimmer of remorse or shame. Just pure disdain. Heart of stone, now a tomb for every feeling you've known. Monument to the damage you've sown. Sitting in judgment on your lofty throne. Rending flesh to the bone. Till you're all alone. Last refrain. Lamenting behavior I can't hope to explain. Psychological shrapnel exploding with blame. Till my whole world crumbles from the strain. And I've gone insane.
Woohoo! Loved it. Loved it. Loved
Woo-hoo!
it. Rack nailing it. Oh, man, you got it, my friend. You got it. You got better memory than I do. And and that's not saying much, but it's giving you something.
I didn't remember that.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. I'm glad you brought that. I'm glad you brought that. But, yeah, sure. I thoroughly enjoyed that. Excellent job, my friend. Lady A, what did you think about that one?
Well, I thought it was very creative, and I enjoyed your voice too, Rack. Your singing capabilities were on par, and I thought that the whole piece was it was fun and had some real depth to it. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Thank you.
Sing on, buddy. Sing on.
Rock on, dude. Mocha.
I loved it. This is a historical day, in my opinion, that I get Rack to sing for me. So I just that alone makes it. But it is a very well written poem or parody poem, depending on how you want to look at it. And then the topic, too. I mean, he did it in a really fun way, and this is something I noticed about Rack. He has this talent for bringing dark topics across in a really fun way that you almost forget that he's singing about something dark. Because the title is pure disdain. I mean, come on, this is not a lovey-dovey happy song, but we were happy as he sang it. You know, he's singing about someone treating love like it's a game and picking at emotional scabs, essentially, to try to get to him or manipulate him or hurt him. And he plays it off with this wonderfully light tone. And the juxtaposition of that sort of gives extra depth, right? Because you know how they always say comedians or the people that make you laugh the most tend to be the saddest? It's sort of like that. And so he's making you laugh, but we're technically laughing and singing along at his pain, which is this in and of itself to take something that is dark and hurtful and turn it into something that other people can enjoy. And I think that's something that artists do to mitigate the pain that they feel from the actual experience. And that in and of itself made this poem absolutely spectacular to me. So, Rack, thank you for bringing it, and thank you for being here and singing. Please sing again.
Thank you for not throwing fruit.
No, you did wonderful, my friend.
I will not throw fruit.
Oh, my God.
No. If I had flowers, I would throw you roses right now.
Make sure they don't have thorns.
So, Jay.
Hey,
I'm
Mocha.
I'm going to that are extra thorny and, like, just chuck them at him like spears. Jay, can we do me now?
Yeah, you're next. Yeah, I was going to ask you to drop your poem, and we're going to do you next, as a matter of fact.
Awesome. Dropping it now. I would like to say, before we get into playing the audio for the poem, I wrote this inspired a little bit by Nine's reading, and also I've been having this thing lately where I don't know, I'm just enjoying writing from a male perspective, and so I wanted a male voice, and I asked Nine to do it. So these are my words with Nine's voice.
that you're about to hear.
Oh, cool. Yeah, here we go. I've been doing a lot of reading from a woman's perspective on some of these Instagram lives, so understand completely. So here we go.
Can I have a dance in that original? By Mocha, 868. Read by Nine of Hearts. I wanted to dance with her, but she belonged to music. Left stranded ashore, I could only watch in awe as the bass straddled her spinal cord. Treble trembled along goosebumped flesh. I watched her become helpless, melting into a puddle of muscles and writhing melodies. Technicolor dewdrops of perspiration misting her jet skin morphed her into rainbow obsidian. I wanted nothing more than to cross the floor, caress those oil-slick curves, and fall in step with her beat, to drown in her sound till I'm deaf to the world. But she belonged to music, and to watch her belong was a sublime sight to behold. Suddenly, as if sensing me, beached on an island, you sailed over, grabbed my hand, yanked me into your tide of summery neon seas. She didn't even ask me to dance. End poem.
There's a few things that really, really, really popped out at me. And misting her technicolor, there's technicolor again. Technicolor dewdrops of perspiration misting her jet skin, morphed into rainbow obsidian. Oh, you know how much I love gemstones. And to put it into that perspective, that, you know, putting a rainbow color, whenever I see a rainbow in a gemstone, I think of the reds and the yellows and the greens that mix in kind of almost into an oil sheen that you see on water, and then you put crest those oil slick curves. Oh my goodness, this is just phenomenal, Mocha. I love this. And at the end there, you sailed over, grabbed my hand. It's not even, you didn't even walk, she didn't even walk over. She sailed over, like she was above the ground, like she was on the wind, like she was part of the element there. I really love how this is put together and the words that you put into it. Oh, I'm just... Your words always just leave, you know, just allow my jaw to drop a little bit more and more. Just fabulous. Lady A, what do you think of this?
Thank you, Jay.
I thought it was stunning. I love how it started. I wanted to dance with her, but she belonged to music. That line alone jumped out at me like you wouldn't believe. It just, you know, I can relate to that entirely. She belonged to music and left standing ashore. I could only watch in awe. As the bass straddled her spinal cord, treble trembled along goose-bumped flesh, I watched her become helpless, melting into a puddle of muscles and writhing melodies. Technicolor dewdrops of perspiration misting her jet skin morphed her into a rainbow obsidian. Oh, I wish I could write like that. It's just beautiful. Beautiful. Boy, these poems have been fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And I think each line, is just so gorgeous. And then I felt so bad for him. She didn't even ask me to dance. That was really sad. So it evoked great amount of emotion throughout the piece. You know, you feel the admiration, the love that he has for this woman, and how he's practically drooling on her and on the floor and hoping against hope. But she doesn't, I don't feel she dislikes him. I think she's so wrapped up in the music of her music that she's lost in it, in her dance. She's lost in the sound of the notes and is celebrating that. That's what I get out of this anyways.
You're correct.
It's just fantastic. Really beautiful, Ken.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Rack and tour.
Yeah, that to me was kind of the heart of it when you mentioned that she was kind of oblivious to everything. She belongs to the music. That was, you know, that summed the whole thing up right there. But then the way that you describe how the music touched her, the couple of references throughout, the way the bass touched her, those two specific metaphors were stunning, and again very very telling of what was happening, what was going on. You know, I almost wanted to tell the guy, you know, he's saying she didn't even ask me to dance. He's like, well, you weren't the music, you know. It's like you would have had to become to be dancing with her, otherwise you didn't have a chance. She was totally oblivious to everything else, and you know, there's something about watching someone enjoying themselves, you know, and totally like immersing themselves into it to the point that they are oblivious to everything that's going on around them. That makes it that much more beautiful, because you could see, you know, their appreciation for what's going on, you know, the whole world through someone else's eyes, perspective. It's really a beautiful thing to watch, because you know, it carries you away to a level that sometimes you're just not capable of yourself, or you can't even relate to. You have to see someone else experience it to, you know, to do it vicariously through them. It's a beautiful thought.
I have so many songs ripping around my head right now. It isn't even funny. Thank you, Mocha. Oh my gosh, I got Dance With Me by the Drifters, I got Swing Town by Steve Miller, I've got Dancing With Myself by Billy Idol, and now Tiny Dancer by Elton John. Thank you, Mocha. My mind is absolutely everywhere now.
You're welcome. Oh, and here's another song and a fun fact. The title, Can I Have a Dance, Ain't That Original, is actually a song lyric, Mos Def song called Miss Fat Booty, which is really funny. Because in the story of that song, Miss Fat Booty, him telling the story of meeting this girl at a club, essentially, and them talking and getting to know each other. And he wants to dance with her, obviously, because he likes the girls, but he says, besides, can I have a dance? Ain't really that original. So he tries something else. He tries, like, talking to her and keeping up a conversation instead. So that also partly inspired the poem.
I'm surprised, Jay. I got to put another song in your head that I'm surprised you didn't hear or think of. Tina Turner, Private Dancer.
Yes. Oh, Tina Turner. Loved her to death. All right. Well, I'm going to put you to work, Mocha, and we're going to have you read one. She was on board earlier, but a little bit of D going on, a little dragon. Demora Driscona.
However, I'm sticking with Drizzy. Okay, this is A Wicked Tea Party by Femora Soulweaver. The trickling caterpillar drops a rainbow of blooming glitter upon drunken porcelain flesh. Butterfly.
We're losing you, Mocha. Oh, dropped her off. I knew it was going to freaking drop her off. I knew it. All right, let me continue on. So, Wicked Tea Party by Femora Soul Weaver. Trickling caterpillar drops, a rainbow of blooming glitter upon drunken porcelain flesh, honeydew, kissed butterfly, caused mushroom to blush eyes while she fed wildflowers, dizzy, buzzing, busted heads. Then the men on a chessboard yells, "Here's to last call." As teetering feet leapfrog down the Yellowstone Road, tea danced across the moon, so the moon swallowed the party. And Rabbit let out a giddy shriek as crimson tides became us all. The queen laughed wickedly as the mouse slayed the cat, hearts now flustered and burst by these bloody commotions of fantastical fantasy notions. I really, really freaking love this poem. Oh, it's a messed up, cut up, tore up Wonderland.
Cheap poem. Yeah.
And I do love the way that that was put together. Hold on, Mocha's back. Let me see. Hopefully. How could they do that to you?
Off with their heads.
I know. So rude.
I really want you reading that because I don't think my voice was, you know, did it justice. I'd rather have you read it. Read it again. Let's see if we can get through it without
I'm
you dropping.
Do it over.
Yeah, because we got, after this, we're going to do 5 in overtime here, and then we're going to call it a day because that's all we got left.
Okay, wow. All right, A Wicked Tea Party, Take 2, by Femora Soulweaver. The trickling caterpillar drops a rainbow of blooming glitter upon drunken porcelain flesh. Honeydew, butterfly, caused mushroom to blush eyes while she fed wildflowers, dizzy, buzzing, busted heads. Then the men on a chessboard yelled, "Here's the last call," as teetering feet leapfrog down the Yellowstone Road. Tea danced across the moon, so the moon swallowed the party, and Rabbit let out a key shriek as crimson tides became all. The queen laughed wickedly as the mouse slayed the cat. Hearts now flustered and burst by these bloody commotions of fantastical fantasy notions. End poem.
Yes, that's what I wanted to hear. All right. Like I said, a nice dark, dark wonderland here of blood and death and gore I don't know. I see a little bit of everything, but I know how dark she writes. So I'm going to say that she brought us into a dark wonderland where the Queen of Hearts just took over. An alternate. I like the way she goes on this. Excellent read, by the way, Mocha. I always love the way you read.
Thank you.
Rack, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm not in the mood for tea right now. I said, like you said, you know, she took that tea party and kind of went a little mad with it. It was pretty spectacular. She did a good job with the imagery and the story. She definitely evoked the Alice feel. I enjoyed it very much.
Lady A, what do you think?
I'm just rereading it a few times over again. I thought that this was intriguing and a good twist on the Tea Party of the Alice in Wonderland type tea party. I think that there's, I'm just trying to see, there is darkness in it, you know, especially going towards the end when you see that a tea danced across the moon. So the moon swallowed the party and Rabbit let out a giddy shriek as crimson tides became us all. And the crimson tides is, I believe, reference to what was happening in, I think it was Florida, around Florida last year. You know, and the mouse slayed the cat. Everything's backwards. Everything's upside down. They drank from the wrong bottle. It's a nightmarish type of trip, but just to use their words, a fantastical fantasy in this Wicked Tea Party. It was very well done.
Wonderful. And lead us out on the comments, Mocha. You read it. What do you think?
It definitely gives you that psychedelic Wonderland tea party vibe. But and just like Lady A said, I got the sense that she had sort of turned that on its head when I got the line as the mouse slayed the cat and the moon swallowed the tea party. It's like being in Wonderland but flipping Wonderland upside down, which is kind of a wild thing to think about doing conceptually, because Wonderland is already sort of an upside-down kind of place. So to turn that on its head even further, I mean, it's like throwing yourself into the pit of insanity and still somehow making it out. And she did make it out, and she did clearly make the poem make sense. So, but it's giving you a sort of a fever dream kind of feeling when you read it. And it's not like a good fever dream. It's like one of those trips where you know this trip is probably going to end badly or sorry, going to go badly, you know? And that's the feeling that I get from it. It may have started off really nice with the trickling caterpillar drops and rainbows, glitter, but then shrank upon drunken flesh, and then she did mushrooms and she did a bunch of other stuff, and now we're just going down a rabbit hole, pun intended. It's sort of the feeling that it gives me, but I enjoy that. Encapsulating those sort of nuanced experiences and feelings in poetry is not the easiest thing to do for most people, so the fact that she can do it seemingly effortlessly, by the way, is fantastic. And she posted this 5 hours ago. I don't know if she wrote it 5 hours ago, but she posted it 5 hours ago. That was like,
yeah,
just now. She just did this, which makes it more
impressive,
doesn't it?
I think she just did write it too. So this is awesome. I want to say that we got about a little over a minute left for the people out on the board and in listening on the internet. So we are going to continue into overtime, read the last few that we have, and then call it a day. But thank you everybody who listened to us out there. Patrick, Titus, 9, and Driscona, thank you very much for being out there listening in.
And
Deb, of course, thank you. And Steve, yep. He was also out there. So awesome. And we're going to continue on with the poetry reading here. Were you going to say something, Rack?
Can I make a...
Yes, go ahead, Mocha.
I'll let Rack go first.
I know. I was just going to name people, but you never mind.
All right. What I was going to say is this is to everyone who came out and who continuously supported the show in the months that I was gone. Thank you all so much from the bottom of my heart. Thank you to those who are still here and supportive. It means the world. We're going to try as soon as possible to get the living room and all of our regularly scheduled
shows back up by hopefully the middle of April, but I don't want to do it too soon because I personally do have some more traveling to do back and forth, and I don't want to start up the show and have to leave again. So in lieu of that, please be patient with us getting the official schedules back out for 2022. It's been a rough year, and I appreciate your patience with us. And we do this because we love it. We don't profit from this really in any way. In fact, it's actually cost us money and time. But we do it because we love it, and we love being here with you. So even when I'm not here, please keep that in mind. I love all of you, and I'm still our shows. I just would like to execute it right and make good on my promises. I don't want to have to poof and abandon you guys again. So thank you all very much, and bear with us. I'm sorry in advance for any technical difficulties that may pop up. And that's all I have to say.
Oh, amazing. That's wonderful. We missed you, and I'm glad you're back. Lady A, would you like to read the next poem for us, please?
Sure.
Okay, it's up there now.
A Memory of You by Mae West.
Yes. Stephanie is a good friend of mine, and this is her new account, so kind of excited.
Okay. Memory of You, and her picture or her quote is, skipping a song because it reminded you of someone you lost and a different kind of hurt, is a different kind of hurt. Vanilla-scented air brings dreamlike need crashing down on me as your smile breaks my aching soul once again. And
ooh,
oh, that was
That was like a... I think I just went in front of a firing squad and got shot right there.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That hit. Brilliant.
Really,
and so few words.
Yeah, very
wow.
Full of pain. Yeah.
Now, go ahead, Lady A. You read it. What do you think?
Well, I just, you know, when you have lost, in whether it's, you know, someone breaking up with you, this is so sorrowful. Obviously, deeply attached to a person, and you lose them. However, you lose them, it is like that. As your smile breaks my aching soul. Oh, that was so emotionally charged. Beautifully done. And certainly, I love it when poetry moves you like that. When you can read something and you're like thrown right into it, and you can feel every bit of it. Beautiful piece.
I know. I got hit really hard with that one. Crack. Did this one hit you?
You know, the things that attach to memories between scent she's got both of those things in there. So, you know, she takes full advantage of the effect they have when you do something like a brevity, you know. You could pack a lot into it. The things that are attached to those feelings, or the feelings attached to those things, rather. You know, it's a wonderful way to convey the thought. And, yeah, it was very deep and moving.
And Mocha, what did you think about that one?
I was right. You kind of partly said what I was going to say about the memories. Memory is a hell of a thing. She started with this quote, skipping a song because it reminded you of someone you lost, this different kind of hurt. I already know that feeling. And then she starts with vanilla-scented air. Just that line alone,
yeah,
cemented for me the concept that she was going for. She's trying to express essentially how attached emotions are to memory, and how sensory things sometimes stick in your memory better than words. So the music will bring back all of that hurt because you hear it. It's sensory. It goes straight to your brain. The smell of vanilla, which is clearly nostalgic and associated with this person that she lost, brings all of that back to her immediately. And the thing is that I didn't even need to hear the rest of the poem after she said vanilla scented air. I just saw the quote, and then she said vanilla scented air, and I was like, oh, we're going to go back. We're going back to that person, aren't we? I already knew it was a trigger. And that's amazing to me that humans relate their experiences like that. That happens all of the time. Sometimes you'll be out in public and you smell, let's say, fried chicken. You don't, if you have a really compelling emotional experience that vaguely has something to do with fried chicken, when you smell it, everything comes rushing back. The emotions, the experience, if it was a bad memory, the trauma, all of it comes back in just a whoosh. So this dreamlike need that comes crashing down on her, I know it all too well. And I think maybe it's something that every single human being can relate to. And I love that she did not even need to use 20 words to do this. Word count 19. And it hits you right in the gut, just the same way that that vanilla-scented air probably hits you in the gut. And she made you feel that. This was really, really well done. And this, in my opinion, is what you should do if you choose to execute brevity as perhaps your main writing style or your main genre. This is what it needs to be. You need to hit me really hard with either every line or within by the time you finished your 19 words or your 20 words or how much of a word. Just make sure that by the end of it, I'm in shambles. You have to always constantly deliver on that if you do brevity. And she did. And so is mwah, chef kiss for me.
All right. Well, let me try this again, Mocha, since you got dropped off. But this is Tear Down the Fourth Wall by Lawrence 67. So fingers crossed, everybody. The adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and his homie Alfie in Tear Down the Fourth Wall. Nigel. La, 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 la. Alfie. Do, re, me. Princess. And one. Two, three, hit it, JCA. Cats don't need no neuterization. Cats don't need no condemnation. All they really want to do is tear down the fourth wall. Hey, Mocha, cats can be bad to the bone. All they really want to do is tear down the fourth wall.
Oh, I love this man to death. Honestly, I knew this was for me. It's perfect. I'm sorry we're in overtime so that he didn't get to hear this if he was listening right. I hope he listens to the playback and makes it this far. It's perfect, Blitz. First of all, I love the original Pink Floyd song, Another Brick in the Wall. It's one of my favorites. And I'm always using the terminology fourth wall to describe Lawrence's rights. And so I knew that this was for me. Before you even said it, like, I just clicked the title. I saw fourth wall. I was like, oh, he's going to do it. And he's going to do it well. And it's so exciting. I can't believe they made you sing, JCA. I got 2 serenades in one day. How awesome is that? Both Rack and Jay sang for me today.
Oh, it's
cats
fun.
Cats don't need no condemnation is what kills me. Oh, thank you,
he
Lauren,
loves to play with
for bringing this. Yeah, and it's funny every time. I love that. Oh, gosh. And thank you. I do feel better. I feel better every time I hear one of these poems and these skits. Honestly, it cheers right up. I appreciate this so much. I don't even have words. My face hurts from smiling. So I think you win for today,
awesome.
Lawrence.
Well, I'm going to keep you talking here, Mocha, and I'm going to let you read Irish.
Oh. Do you like the sound of my voice, Jay? You made me read a lot. Fine,
yes, I
I'm
do.
Kidding.
Yes,
I miss reading. Oh, and I get to read Irish. If Only by Irish Moonlight Sorrow. Oh, change your name. It has been said that blood is thicker than water, but in actuality, it is not. Blood is spilled just as often, just as easily as water. Only difference is, it has an endpoint. It runs and runs till the last drop is drained, but even then, the smell still lingers. It's a secret no one can know. It lingers in our minds, ourselves. Quiet as a mouse you hear, final words heard as the ringing starts only to stop. Everything a blur. If only they heard, if only they saw, make them stop. Constant apologies echo. If only make them stop, why won't they stop? The cries, the tears, flashes and memories forever to go unseen, unheard, if only. Screams echoing down home corridors, cries slipping through cracks and floorboards, only to fall on deafened ears that turn blind to the acts of cruelty and treason committed. The constant apologies whispered over and over again on repeat for crimes they did not. Their weeping unheard by the world as it passes by. Only seen and heard by those who wish and pray to forget. Unhear, to unsee that which has been seen and heard. If only, no. They mustn't see. What if only? If only. End poem.
That's why I love to hear you read. Because you bring such a great emotion into this, and you stop and you pause at perfect points. You raise and lower your voice just right. This is deep and dark and kind of biting. And you read it, and you actually have almost more questions in your mind than when you started. And I love that about a poem. I love, like, where did you go from here? Where is this? Why is that? And then you hear this. Are these screams in your head, or are they outside of your head? Where is this corridor? Is this corridor in your head, or in some ways you actually live? There's so much here. I love this piece. And it really does touch on the dark side. I love the way it's put together. Wonderful job, Irish. Lady A, what do you think about it?
Yeah.
Well, I thought that this was entirely intriguing. I think that the whole thing is creative. And I like the open line. It has been said that blood is thicker than water, but in actuality, it is not. And can I ever attest to that? Blood is spilled just as often, just as easily as water. The only difference is it has an end point. It runs and runs till the last drop is drained. But even then, the smell still lingers. It's our secret. no one can know. It lingers in our minds, our cell. This is a very, 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 like I said, intriguing poem. It makes you want to read the next line and the next line, and you want it to continue on. You don't want it to stop. I thought it was brilliant.
Agreed. Mocha, you read it. What do you think?
Oh, I think this is fantastic. I mean, did you not hear how passionate I was getting while I was reading it? Because I started reading it, and from the first line, I was like, oh, this is going to be one of those poems that just sucks me in and gets me to channel whatever character or whatever emotion that this person is writing about. And she did this so well. She's got a wonderful talent for darkness and making darkness very poignant and elegant and perhaps a little bit contemplative, right? That intro line, I agree with Lady A, was the hooker, honestly, and it sums up the feeling of the poem perfectly. And the whole moral story of it is the blood is spilled just as often, just as easily, but as an endpoint. It's like, how long can you allow people to walk over you just because they're family?
Yeah.
Is the point, I think, that she was making with this poem. And I can relate to that. I can understand that. It's almost like with family relationships, you're not allowed to have certain boundaries or to want certain things for yourself or to not give of yourself in certain ways. And, you know, you're just sort of expected to perform in this way that benefits your family at deficit to you, you know? And the whole reasoning for that is, oh, well, we're family. It's not because, you know, I love you or because I choose to or because you do things for me. You know, family is a very strange concept when you think about it. Because you can be blood related to people and be quick strangers with them.
Yeah.
You know? And you would still somehow be required by, I don't know, I guess societal norms to acquiesce to that person's wishes in some way solely because they are your family. An example would be like compromising for a parent. Like my mom, when I was younger, did not think that writing had any benefit of it to me. So she didn't, I wanted to study literature. She was like, no, study sciences. And I have to acquiesce and change what I want for that solely because she is family and because she's my parent. She's my guardian, you know. But and in the end, it didn't quite benefit my happiness. And that is, for some reason, a sacrifice you have to make with family. The fact she said, it's still just as often, but the only difference is it has an endpoint. I think the point that she's making here is you can only go so far and give up so much of yourself as an adult to grant the wishes of your family. And after that, everything that you choose to give to should be just that, a choice. It should be water. Water that you can pour someone a glass or receive a glass in turn. It doesn't quite work like that. You only give blood when somebody's like dying. So the metaphor is on point. It works. And then the whole story she tells afterwards with the screams echoing down the home corridors, cries slipping through or only fall deafened ears. That's something else that I know about very well. And it's very deep and personal and dark and speaks to the extent that certain families will go to keep themselves looking on the outside like the perfect family when, in fact, they're bleeding each other dry, quite literally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This poem was fantastic.
Great.
So many layers to it, and I'm going to stop talking now. Really great job, Irish. Thank you for letting me read it too, Jay.
Oh, no problem. No problem. I know how much you love Irish, so definitely wanted to let you in there on that. All right. I have a little something from Dante called Dead or Alive. Freedom of speech is out there somewhere. I look around, there is none around here. We either listen to what they are saying, oh boy, you better come in the church and start praying. Do we really live in a society, or are we in a simulation and there is no humanity, run by a program invented by a genius mind? And if World War III is really happening, you won't see me standing in the front line. 9 out of 10 will be hunting me, for Corona will still be a nightmare haunted to see. Oh, shut up. It's just a flu. It's fine. Then what's in the vaccine? Why do I get a feeling when I'm out on the streets, cars are chasing me? Or are you all blind to see? Now every day I'm waiting until they come for me. I'm done playing the game, dead or alive. Jesus, I'm grown man. I'm not 5. Done with leaders playing with the strings on the puppets. Like, oh, look at this one. It's broken. Better shut it off. No, don't let me take the gloves off. I keep brawling and punching, but the real offender, are they in charge? I can hear the M outside my door pacing the charge. Come on, out. We got you surrounded. Fuck no, I'm standing like I'm grounded, pulsing through the waves of strikes, flashing before their lights hit me as I'm a deer looking blindly in them. It's him. Look out behind you. I don't want to go to therapy where they can brainwash me so endlessly, where my voice goes down repeatedly. Shoot him now. All clear. We got him.
Wow.
This is a little mix and mingle of everything going around in society today. This is, gosh, I don't know how to put it. You know, there's a lot of people who think this way, and they look at this world like it's just coming in and surrounding them and not letting them go. So I think that this is a fabulous piece put in that. There's so much to it. There's so many layers, so many freaking layers, layer upon layer upon layer upon layer. And I think that did just an amazing job with this. Wow, is right. God. What do you got, Mocha? What do you think?
Dante always comes with these almost borderline anarchist-sounding poems. No, but it's a compliment. I love anarchy. It's fine. So, he's English is just getting better and better. I'm shocked. I mean, he still has a little occasional typo, but the fact that he's more and more cohesive now with each piece, like, behind the piece. And there's also an equal amount of emotion behind it. You can tell. Every time he writes these sort of pieces, you can sense the fire in it, regardless of who is the reader. If you just read the text, you can sense that he's very passionate about what he's talking about. If World War III is really happening, you won't see me standing in the front line. You're right, bro. I wouldn't either. You're goddamn right. Like, why should you? Why should innocent people fight someone else's war? And that's this whole thing about this Ukraine-Russia situation that is very upsetting. that this has nothing to do with the Russian people. This has nothing to do with the Ukrainian people. This is two men or multiple old men who are in power fighting for resources that don't necessarily belong to them and putting their wants and their needs above the needs of the citizens that they were put in that position to serve. And he's very right to be angry about it.
Yeah. Well,
justifiably angry about it, I think. And to have him express it this way is sort of a relief here. It's like listening to rock music when you're angry. You listen to somebody else scream, and somehow living vicariously through that helps you relieve some of your frustration. Because in a way, we are all sort of powerless to stop it. At this point, there's not much many people can do, especially people living far away from Ukraine and Russia. Like, at this point, we have to pray and send our hearts out to them and hope that no more innocent people are in this ridiculous conflict.
You're right.
It's a really good poem. It sums up the frustration of the generation right now, like every generation. It sums up 2022.
It really is. It's been one hell of a year. I agree with you on that. Lady A, what'd you think?
I really admire this guy. I feel like he's telling the truth. He's, I think, brave to speak as he has done in this piece. I think that I don't know him. I've read him a few times, but I'm very proud of what he's done in this piece because he's speaking what most people are thinking but don't have the courage to say. And I think he's done a great job. He's conscientious. He's aware of the society that we live in, and he's one of few, and myself included, that will speak their minds. And when you speak your mind, it's not well received most of the time because nobody wants to rock the boat. And he rocks the boat in truth, and I think this is a great piece. I've been that way all my life too, and you've got to temper it so that it's received. But what he's saying is the truth, and people could read it as paranoia when he says, you won't see me standing in the front line. 9 out of 10 will be hunting me. And then he talks about the virus and stuff. I mean, it takes guts to speak your truth. And he's not just saying it willy-nilly either. I mean, I thought it was a great piece. A rare piece because people don't want to hear that truth. They don't want to know the ugliness that truly is going on in the world. And they don't want to know, how money and greed are the culprits here. And no, it's not the Russian people and it's not the Ukrainian people. We have an insane leader of a people which is really sad because, they're going in there bombing schools and hospitals and apartment buildings. They don't even have any military targets. They're just going in killing people. And for that, those are war crimes. You don't kill civilians like that. And it's a power-tripping thing. But in any case, I'm jumping off on my own soapbox. But I think he was, Dante, kudos to you for writing this. I think it's great. Mm-hmm.
Agreed. All right, Lady A, I'm going to put you to work a little bit. Have you read the next one?
Okay. Oh, I love cans. Oh. Okay.
Oh, it's cans! Yay!
This is called In Death, In Life, by Tan. Oh, great slumber, how I turn my eyes from thee. Heavy is the garment of breath I wear, woven in uncertainty. This robe, then, this cloak of flesh, 'tis stitched with the thread of fear. I mourn within the marrow of midnight for a bright of day that left me bare. O great river, how I lost myself to thee. Against your tides in turmoil I tumbled, not knowing you were but the vein of enlightened seas. Carry then my naked vessel beneath your currents of wisdom. Sink me deep. Drown me in the ocean of ethereal knowledge. May my surrender gift the freedom I seek. Oh, great night, how I stumbled through the dark of thee, blinded by the bright of moonlight. At the grave of shattered stars, my soul still weeps. Drape then your veil of destined shadow across the longing bones of my endless sleep. 'Tis but within the depths of your unknown I shall soar the wondrous winds of life's release. End poem.
Oh, gosh, can we breathe now, folks? Oh my gosh, it just took my breath away. That took my breath. I'm going to read the Gilbrand quote at the bottom there.
Yeah.
For what is it to die but to stand naked in the wind and to melt into the sun? And when the earth shall claim your limbs, then shall you truly dance. I need to gather my thoughts. I need to gather my thoughts. Mocha, can you take over for a second?
I'm trying to get to mine right now. I'll take some gathering. Tan's is mind-blowing. She's always been mind-blowing. It's just everything that I read from her, everything that I am lucky enough to get onto the show is just... I'm at a loss for words. Hold on. She's so good. I love her use of language in this. And the mood of the poem was just so all-encompassing. Like I said, I'm losing my ability to use words right now. Oh, great slumber, how I turned my eyes from thee. Heavy is the garment of breath I wear, woven in uncertainty. As little stanza, amazing. And then she goes, this robe then, this cloak of flesh, to stitch with the thread of fear. I mourn within the marrow of midnight or bright of day that left me bare. There's so much to unpack in just that. I'm not 100% sure if the loss lost the person or fear of death or fear of someone else dying, but you feel it. You feel it before you can fully contemplate why exactly you're feeling it and where it's coming from, and that's how powerful the emotion is from her. And her metaphors are so beautiful, so expertly woven, and so gracefully executed. Against your tides and turmoil I tumbled, not knowing you the vein of enlightened seas. What do you want? What more do you want from a poet, from an artist? She's breathing poetry at this point. Carry then my naked vessel beneath your currents of wisdom and sink me deep. Why does this almost sound like a prayer, the level of reverence that is in here? the level of honoring sort of this person that she's talking about, you can tell that there's a level of admiration that is just beyond the average. An amazing poem, Tanz. I'm probably going to read this like 4 or 5 times after the show before I can comment on it comprehensively. Because it's my heart is actually feeling a little a little shaky right now. She has this emotional power very similar to Bella, where I'm pretty sure she's an empath, where I don't know what magic gives them this power over words. Their words always hit you directly to the core. It cuts to the quick. There's no pussyfooting around the point. There's no trying to convince yourself that you don't feel what you're feeling. You feel it. And you always will with Tanz's poem. And this poem was just, it was that. It was a knockout.
You know, I felt I could almost see her in writing this with a piece of parchment and a quill, feathered quill, and sitting underneath
so
an olive tree, sitting underneath an olive tree in ancient Greece, just penning this. And it would make as much sense if it was penned then as if it was penned today, because of how classic her words are, how in depth, and you're right, a reverence. I almost felt like there was a touch of Psalms in this, like someone was writing this to in the Song of Solomon or something to that effect. I thought it was just gorgeous. Wow. And Lady A, you read this. What do you think?
Well, I truly, truly drowned in her words. I so powerful and so deep. You know, she's talking about the great slumber, which I'm interpreting as death, how I've turned my eyes from thee. And then she talks about how heavy the garment is that she's wearing of uncertainty. And just her rhyme scheme with the couplet and then the three little lines, you know, it flows so beautifully. Oh, great slumber, how I turn my eyes from thee. Heavy is the garment of breath I wear, woven in uncertainty. Isn't that gorgeous?
Mm,
it's just a beautiful flow.
Yes.
And throughout the whole piece, you know, she's talking about taking off that robe and... because it's stitched with the thread of fear. Throw it off and free yourself. You know, mourning within the marrow of midnight for a bright of day that left me bare. Should she take it off, that she has that to expect, a brighter day, a better day, that's enlightened her from that fear. And... just, you know, when she talks about the river and she lost herself in the against her tides and turmoil, I tumbled, not knowing you were but the vein of enlightened seas, the very essence of life, really. It just, the whole piece is just thrilling. And she's, you know, looking for knowledge. She wants the freedom to have that knowledge. And you know, she talks about her, you know, shattered stars, and my soul still weeps. That's so good. And she speaks of all this, and then the last verse, 'tis but within the depths of your unknown I shall soar, the wondrous winds of release. Wowzer. Tanz.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, here's what we got going on. I got one more poem, and then I got an extra special outro that I'm going to do for you guys. But I'm going to read Obenex right here. And this is called My Clock No More. It goes like this. Now my clock ticks no more, 'tis with night who does secure it as the nail who dwells in a door. Sight with sound fail to pour in hush so stirred to be pure of life that so tinkles to the core. My clock halted did store tranquility full to lure me in freezing in life of before. No inferno to bore me with hell's heat to endure, feeling once had I need not implore. No quake esteem by lore of time in its pressure sure to awaken my clock by its roar. Time frozen fails to soar, consciousness frozen to tour around in a realm where hush is a whore. Poem. Ooh. First of all, I love the language. I love the language in this piece. The language is just phenomenal. And there, it's almost a classical feel. It's like a feel that you're pulled into something that is almost dark yet. There's just a sliver of light, but then it's like, really, really is there? Yeah, it's like, it's almost like an ominous feeling, a shadow, a cloud that hangs over your head. And wow, it's just wonderful to be able to read something like this. Obenex is an incredible, incredible poet from Nigeria. And the way he writes, I just love it. And he wrote this 12 years ago. My goodness. What an incredible, incredible poem. I know. So what do you think of this Lady A?
I have to apologize because I was writing to Tans and I was only half listening. I very much apologize for that.
Oh, no problem. No problem. Mocha.
You said some of the things that I was going to say. I adore the language. And between Tans just now and him now, I feel like, do we need to do a classical show, Jay?
Maybe.
Maybe we do. I don't know if I can write classical sound and make it actually sound as good as this, but I will attempt if we're doing one. I'm here for the idea. But no, really, it is very dark. And it does give you this feeling of something sort of encroaching on you or something sort of pursuing you to your end. Light with sound fails to pour in hush so stirred to be pure of life that still tinkles to the core. My clock halted, then store tranquility full to lure me in, freezing the life of before. Yeah, it feels like being lured into a trap, almost. But you can't help it. It gives me the feeling of something pursuing you from behind, and it's pushing you down a path where you know the path is not going to end well, but you sort of have no other choice. You either face the demon behind you or you face the demon in front of you. You stick and get caught between the two of them. But there's really sort of a feeling of no way out of being frantically sort of backed into a corner.
and just slowly but surely having to just accept your fate of like, okay, this is the dark place that I'm in, and well, here it is. I guess I gotta stay here. It gives that sort of resignation in the end to me when he says, time frozen fails to soar, consciousness frozen to tour around in a realm where hush pour. It's like he's already settled into that dark corner, that dark place.
Yeah.
And
yes.
He sort of just accepts that, okay, this is life now, and this is where I'm at. And there's something about it, it's really impactful. It's very taking. It's also sort of surprising. Does he usually write dark? I don't know that I've read a lot of his stuff. But
no,
I
haven't heard much of his dark stuff. This may be a first for me as well.
Oh, because I'm thinking, like, isn't Obenex, like, so nice all the time? He doesn't seem like somebody that would give you this level of darkness just from what
no,
I've experienced from him, from, you know, seeing him around, comment.
No, you're right. You're right. This is a little, this shows versatility from him, which I always love in poets.
Yeah, agreed. Fully agreed. Lady, you
all
ready
right.
to comment?
Sorry about that. I think this has been an exceptional show, Jay, with every poet that's put their poetry forward, and I feel really blessed to have been taking part in this. And this last poet, I think I commented already, did I not? Can't remember. But in any case, it's all fabulous. Hello?
No problem. Yeah, what I'm going to do right now is I got a little something extra special for you guys. And we are going to close the show out with this. I know it's been a long time since you've heard something like this, Mocha, but I'm hoping you're going to mark out a little bit about it. But I think someone let the Joker into the room.
Goes the weasel. Oh, hello there. Did I annoy you? Oh, you didn't see me? Well, it is kind of dark in here. You see, we have the ticking and the talking, the gears grinding, and whatever noise you're making, don't struggle too much. But then again, do. I really love it when they struggle. There's such a rush with the fear. Let me see. Who do we have here? Oh, yes. It's you, Gordon. Good old Gordon. Everybody loves Gordon. You know what? Even I love Gordon. I love it when you are tied up, squirming. And what's that squeal? Are you trying to say something? What's wrong? That got your tongue? Don't worry. We're all alone here. No one to hear you struggle. No one to hear you scream. No one to hear your bones crack when you are pulled into the gears of a classic Gotham clock tower. It'll be our secret. Now, let me check the time. Tick-tock, tick-tock, the clock won't stop, and Gordon will go squash. Great, it's bats. Come on down from the rafters, you sound like an elephant. Let him go, Joker. Wait! Not another step forward, you see? The clock tower is wired to go boom. If my heartbeat goes too fast, now we wouldn't want that type of incident, would we? What do you want, Joker? Truthfully, I haven't really thought that far. So, we'll go ahead and just walk away and let you try to figure out how to save dear old Gordon with all these wires and gears set to go off any minute. I mean, you're going to have to figure out some way to save him. You don't want another incident like Harvey Dent. Do you? So, arrivederci, bats. Till we meet again. It's been something. Just not a pleasure. Oh, by the way, you have 60 seconds before everything explodes. Starting in 3. 2, 1, go!
Stay. Stay. Oh, God.
What?
Which version of the Joker was this? It reminds me
comic.
Of the one from...
Cartoon. Cartoon.
Yeah, the cartoon, the original cartoon, yeah?
Yep.
The fabulous Joker, who was actually one of my favorite Jokers of all time. Honestly, he was so flamboyant, and the voice was perfect. The only thing that I was low-key actually expecting you to do, when you got to the point where you were saying the 3-2-1 go, I was expecting you to suddenly speed up and just go 3-2-1 go, because the Joker would be that kind of asshole. They would be talking slowly the entire time and just count down for the explosives really, really quick. This is so great. I mean, even when you came in with the man voice, I was about to lose it. Honestly, I didn't see that coming. I didn't know Bass was going to be in it. I didn't know Bass would have made an appearance. You did the Christian Bale Batman voice so well. It's so entertaining. I love it. The dialogue is perfectly written and executed. It's just it's almost Gonzo level. Why don't you and I demand you and Gonzo do like a mass production of this or of like any superhero. Like you do your thing and Gonzo do his thing. You guys do it together. So. I want this to be, like, make a love child between Gonzo Productions and this.
Oh, my God.
Seriously,
you,
it's so entertaining. You were so perfectly in character. And the whole setup of, like, Gordon getting thrown into the clock tower. Did you take that from an exact episode? Because that's precisely what they would do in the cartoons. Like, every episode... The Joker has this, it's really, like, sort of long out-of-the-way plan that's super complex and always involves taking somebody as a hostage, and then he's rigged it so he could get away, and Bats never gets to catch him because he's rigged it to explode if his heart stops or something like that. It's perfect. It took me back to Saturday morning cartoons again. This is Batman Beyond right now that I feel like I was watching. And, oh, you see this line where you say you don't want another incident like Harvey Dent? Oof. Oof. That hit me right in the chest. That is so petty of Joker. He would say that is the best part of it. You need to start voice acting, Don. I'm serious. It's too good for you to just be throwing these out and not doing anything.
Thank you.
Till we meet again.
Thank you.
It's been something. Just not a pleasure. My favorite
I have fun
line.
With them. I really do.
We got
about 2 minutes.
I wish
and a half
I could
minutes.
Be.
Lady A is still here.
Yeah, I wish I could give you an intelligent comment on this one because I know who the Joker is, but I'm not familiar with any of the movies, or I've never seen any of the movies. But I know that it was a fun and creative, imaginative play. I called it to myself that there's a little play. But the references that you were familiar with, Mocha, was over my head because I've never seen anything. But I enjoyed it, and I thought it was very creative. But listening to your response made it even more interesting and fun because you knew all of the references that Jay was making throughout the whole piece. Great stuff.
Thank you. Well, thank you, everybody. Love you guys, and we're calling it a day on that. And Mocha, so great to have you back.
Yes, it's good to be back. I'm sending you a virtual hug.
Welcome
no,
back.
I miss being home. Thank you,
Lady A.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you for being here, Lady A.
Well, I'm so glad I was able to catch the show because I've missed so many of them. It just hasn't panned out because they were last minute, but I certainly missed hearing everybody. And today, congratulations on the show today. What great poetry. It was a wonderful show.
Yes, absolutely. We have a lot of talented people out
there.
I'm so thankful for each and every one of them. All right, folks, we have seconds left, so I'm going to just throw on some music, and it'll lead us out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was just about to ask if we just throw on some scientific outro music.